Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Burning Hearts Show. My name is not Rachel Herbeck. I am Steve Norman. I work with Rachel for Renewal Ministries, but Rachel is off in Africa, specifically Rwanda, on mission with Renewal Ministries and a team. And so she's not in the country and has asked, you know, some fellow coworkers to kind of fill in for her at different spots. So again, my name is Steve Norman. I'm very privileged and honored to be able to be with you on Burning Hearts. And I'm also very privileged and honored to bring another coworker for Renewal Ministries into and onto the show, and that is Mr. Chris Baker. Hello, Chris Baker.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Yeah, man, this is great. I mean, we work in the same office. We are in the same men's group. You know, we hang out a lot. We talk a lot. We do a lot of things. And this opportunity presented a great opportunity just to kind of bring our behind closed doors conversations out into the public. So it's a bit of an experiment. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, again, we both work for Renewal Ministries. And we thought for today and actually for the next couple of days, we had a topic that being in the same men's group, we've kind of addressed and looked at and continue to discuss and unpack together. And we just thought it'd be kind of cool to kind of day by day take some of these things apart. But before we dive into any of that content, Chris, why don't we talk a little bit about you, yourself, your journey, how long you have been with Renewal Ministries and kind of what brought you to Renewal in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with Renewal Ministries for about 6.5 years. So back in 2019, I joined ID, which was Intentional Disciples, the Young Adult Outreach of Renewal Ministries. And that was a connection through a former Focus missionary who was already working with ID. And she just told me and my wife, like, you have to come to Ann Arbor to check out these people. They're incredible. Like, there's a Catholic bubble in Ann Arbor, and these people at Renewal Ministries are absolutely incredible. And so, you know, being pretty intrigued, we made several trips over from the west side of Michigan, Grand Rapids, to come meet all these people. And we were not, you know, we were very impressed and just not at all surprised to see how great it was here.
Awesome. That's very cool. So your wife, Afton, a shout out to Afton there. She's from the west side of Michigan, but you are from where originally?
I'm from Kansas originally.
Okay. And you mentioned, you guys met as Focus missionaries.
Yes, we were on the same team.
And where were you guys located for that?
We were at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay. So you spend a couple of years kind of being in mission together and just getting to know each other and seeing each other kind of in action. And there you are, twinkled eyed and watching this beautiful girl doing her thing. And at some point, though, that connection, that spark was explored. Now, was this during the Focus year, or was it kind of, you know, stay away from that reality and wait till after the Focus year?
So that's a good question, actually. We were both on dating fast first year. And then, you know, I was actually already dating someone else. And so we were very good friends on staff, but you're right. We did see each other on mission, team hangouts, like saw each other having fun, just like how we were working together, planning things, giving talks together. Like we did see quite a few aspects of each other, and we were really good friends, but would never have considered dating each other when we were actually on staff. It was a little bit later that opportunity came about.
Okay. Yeah, so I know your story a little bit there. Obviously, you finished your Focus mission. You're already done your undergrad at that point. You went to Kansas.
That's correct.
Correct. But then you went and did more schooling. Is that correct? After your Focus time?
I did, yeah. I went to the University of Kansas for undergrad, and then I was a Focus missionary for 2 years. And then I actually went to Benedictine College to get my master's in business.
Master's, so your MBA. And what was the thought process there? I mean, you just spent a couple of years as a missionary, kind of directly in ministry, and you were serving kind of in that sphere, and then you decided to go study and get your MBA. What was the thought or the motivation for that? Because, I mean, that's 2 years, the cost, the intense reality, you know, to go through that grad program. What was motivating you?
I'd always seen my dad in business, and as I was going through undergrad, I also developed a love of those classes, honestly, the business classes. I liked being in the business school, and I, you know, had a lot of my sights set on, even after focus, going back into like kind of the business reality, being able to do, you know, operations or administrative things for a business.
Okay, so you have that, obviously, that you still have a missionary, this ministry heart, but now you're thinking of business world, kind of the shift gears a little bit. But like you said, a missionary friend invited you, you come check out Ann Arbor, and you and Afton see it and you feel it. And now here you are once again working in ministry, having finished your MBA. And was that, again, were you thinking, okay, I can work for Renewal and maybe apply some of these business principles? Was that the hope and expectation with you being hired at the beginning? Or was it, nope, I'm going to go back working with young adults and just be ministry focused?
Yeah, so a large part of the attraction with the role when I first joined was actually the combination of kind of best of both worlds. So the ability to do ministry with young adults, something that I definitely still loved and had a heart for, as well as being able to apply the business principles to the operations of that outreach, the young adult outreach.
Gotcha. And now, you know, six and a half years into this, you're no longer working with ideas no longer existing, but you have shifted your role within Renewal. You know, as a guy who's zero MBA, zero business sense and back end processing, a little bit in a nugget here, how would you kind of summarize your role with Renewal now?
Yeah, so I always tell people I do a lot of the background stuff. So the things that need to be done that keep things moving, I'm either overseeing or helping with. And so it's largely operational, administrative, financial, those kind of areas of the business.
Gotcha. Now, as someone, so I am the director of something called Forged Ministry, which is under the umbrella of Renewal Ministries. And I work a lot with high school and middle school boys, and we have a Pine Hills Boys Camp we're involved with. And again, it's a blessing, it's a gift to work in a dynamic office that has people very qualified and capable and just has a tremendous heart for the Lord to be able to go to and say, hey, I need help leading and help growing Forge Ministry. Can you help me in this way or that way? And, you know, having people yourself and Natalie in our office to help lead that. And I think, and part of the reason why I'm bringing this up in these last few minutes is because my wife and I, we moved from Canada about 2 years ago to start working for Renewal, myself with Forged, my wife with the counterpart BLR with high school and middle school girls. And when we moved down here, I knew Chris, I knew you a little bit through mutual friends and some online interactions, but I didn't know you that well. But it didn't take me long to realize the way you operate, the way you seek to understand systems and processes, you love to just become more efficient. You love to find ways to really get down to the brass tacks of how things work and why they work and what makes them work well. And so as we're talking, whether it's through ministry or work-related or our workout life, we quickly found that just like growing as men, as husbands, as fathers, we wanted to apply some of these principles just to our everyday life. And so Chris and I, we with a couple of friends, we start this men's group and we start to have conversations. What exactly are we going to do? How are we going to spend our time? What is the process we're going to follow, if you will? And I'm not sure if you remember that time. That was going back 2 years ago now in some of those conversations. But we came across a document that was written by John Paul II. It was in the context of an encyclical called Pastores Dabo Vobis. Anyone who speaks Latin will most likely just correct me on that one. But the English translation of this document is, I will give you shepherds. JP2 writes this document to help form men in the seminary. But do you remember our early day conversations about looking at this document written by JP2 of how to form men and how we would potentially bring it into our men's group as we were figuring out what our men's group was going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember when you brought it up, I was surprised to hear it again because it had been a little while since I had heard about this document. When I was a focused missionary, they used it as part of the formation process, these four pillars of formation. And so I had definitely been familiar with it and even formed with the same kind of methodology as a focused missionary. But I was very excited to hear your interest in it when we were initially talking through this.
Yeah, and it's been great to kind of go back and forth we've been at this document, or sorry, our men's group using this document for about 2 years, and we are still kind of chewing on it and circling back to it and trying to help to allow it to inform us and hopefully understand JP2's mind a little bit more, so that our men's group, for us, we are seeking to allow this document to kind of be the base and the foundation of what we are doing. And so just quickly, we can look at maybe a very 10,000 foot view, a bird's eye view of these four pillars, and with the hope that over the next couple of days we can spend together kind of ticking each day to break them down. So now we use an acronym called SHIP. So why don't you explain what does it mean to have a ship?
Yeah, we like acronyms. So SHIP is for the four pillars: spiritual, human, intellectual, and pastoral.
Okay, and so JP2 is kind of saying that these are the four areas that a man should and could be formed in to help them. Now, he's talking about to become a great priest, but we're applying these to just become great men, great humans, great disciples. So without giving too much away, can you say like an overarching thing, the relationship to one another and how they flow, and like, do you work on one at a time, or like just kind of, what do you envision JP2's vision being kind of in these four pillars?
Yeah, so the way they work and the way they were laid out by John Paul II was initially with human and actually revealing the image of Christ in you, that's already in you. And then with the spiritual area formation being the crown of the human area formation, the spiritual being growing in intimacy with Christ, and then being able to put on the mind of Christ and know the mind of Christ is the intellectual area. And then sort of the pinnacle of all four areas is pastoral, actually kind of drawing it all together, the human, the spiritual, and the intellectual, so as to share the mind and heart of Christ with others.
And so you're kind of suggesting there's meant to be this overlap, this natural flow, this synergy, if you will, between all the areas, but really it meant to be this thing that then can overflow from a man's heart, from his mind, from his very nature, to be gift of self to, you know, whether it's your parish as a priest or your family or your whatever your vocation is. It sounds like you're saying they're meant to kind of be interwoven together.
Absolutely. They were looked at as a single method of formation, and then they just broke it down into four areas to kind of, you know, better fine tune the way the formation's presented and the specific goals of each.
Awesome. Well, I mean, the document's not terribly long. At least this section within his overall encyclical is not terribly long, which is probably why I was attracted to it. It was digestible, and JP2 has a beautiful way of writing. So yeah, we hope that you join us this week as we take a day at a time, a segment at a time, to dive deeper into these four areas, starting tomorrow with the human formation, what JP2 writes about how do we form ourselves in the human capacity, and then moving from there to the spiritual, the intellectual, and culminating in the pastoral, or if you want to say apostolic, this element of what it means to be human, which is going out of oneself to be gift for the other. So we hope you can join us over the next couple of days. Again, my name is Steve Norman, filling in for Rachel Herbeck on the Burning Hearts show alongside Chris Baker. We work together at Renewal Ministry, and we're excited to dive deeper together with you. So please join us. Thank you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.